Said Abraham to the Lord in Genesis 18 and 25, Far be it from you to do such a thing, to kill the righteous and wicked alike. Far be it from you. Will not the judge of all the earth do right? And this is they overlook Sodom and Gomorrah. He is trustworthy. Moses, as he spoke to the whole assembly of Israel just before his death, said in Deuteronomy 32, 3 and 4, I will proclaim the name of the Lord. Oh, praise the greatness of our God. He is the rock. His works are perfect and all his ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong, upright and just is he. He is just. Paul, in writing to the church at Philippi in Philippians 1 and 6, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. He is faithful. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the door locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them, and he said, Peace be with you. John 20 and 19. Trustworthy, just, and faithful. We have heard the words of the ancients as they speak of peace in God. You cannot know peace if you do not believe. Believe, that is, that God is just in all that he does, that he is faithful to his covenant and his promises, and that he is trustworthy in all things, in meaning that he will say what he will do, and he does what he says. But there is also in that equation of finding peace in God and with God a call to remembrance, as Solomon writes in Ecclesiastes 1, 9 and 10. What has been will be again. What has been done will be done again. There's nothing new under the sun. Is there anything of which one can say, Look, this is something new? It was here already, long ago. It was here before our time. There is nothing new under the sun. Materials are found to have different uses. A different breed of dog is brought about by mixing other breeds, but they're still dogs, no matter their features. What is formed differently today is still of old, but it has new purpose and meaning to its use. But at its foundation, it is still of old. We dress differently today than we did 50 or 1,000 years ago, for sure. But what is beneath that different clothing has not changed. And there beats the same heart driven by the same sinful nature. Mankind has fallen, and without God cannot get up. Man's heart has not changed in the thousands of years he has walked the earth. And as the conflict that covers this world was once as a gentle mist in barely being noticeable as it fell, it now stirs like a tempest storm. An extensive current of wind rushing with great velocity and violence, and it's commonly attended with rain and hail and snow, a furious storm. And it keeps the dust, mankind, from settling down, and as it continues to fall from one generation onto the next, it was unnoticed until it could not be any more. And in these past few years, God has done great things by exposing the deeds of men one to another and revealing just how dark and how far man has fallen. It all falls back to the distractions of the deceiver, the perverse nature of pagan gods and of their being raised up in our day. And it is in the need for more by the hearts of men. And in all of this, we can return to the garden, hear the serpent innocently say, Did God really say that? He stirs up doubt and leads the rebellion against God. And now it is by both fallen angels and mankind. Jesus will appear to the disciples. They are afraid of the Jewish leaders and the teachers of the law, and for this reason, they remain hidden behind locked doors in the room they have gathered in. Suddenly, there he stands among them, and what did he do first? But he reminded them of his words, Peace be with you. Jesus has given new meaning to this greeting. Before his crucifixion in John 14, 1 through 3, he had offered comfort to his disciples with these words, Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms, and if it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. Peace be with you. Do not let your hearts be troubled. I want you to be with me where I am, and until that day, I will be with you where you are. This he does for us through his Holy Spirit. Trustworthy is his name, and peace is what he gives to those who will believe. He is trustworthy. And again Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that he breathed on them and he said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." John 20:21-22. Jesus reminded them again of his words, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me." But he now reminds them that his coming was with purpose, as he says to them, "As the Father has sent me, I am now sending you." They would be reminded of his words on the night when they sat together and he asked them, "Who do you say I am?" "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God," Peter would reply to him in Matthew 16:16. And after giving comfort to them, he now gives a renewed purpose to their lives. "As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." Who's sending them? The Christ, the Son of God. They have seen his hand at work through his teachings and the miracles he has performed. And he stands there now amongst them. He is the promised one, the Son of God. Here, in the flesh, is the faithfulness of God, sent to his deliver his people as he promised, thereby fulfilling his words to them. These men would commit in the power of the Holy Spirit, letting God lead, to the spreading of the good news. And it would be to the soul, with eyes to see and ears to hear, that it would be made known, this offering of the forgiveness of sin and of reconciliation with God. Messiah had come. God is faithful to his word and to his promises. He is faithful. And a week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them, though the doors were locked. Jesus came and stood among them, and he said, "Peace be with you." And then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands? Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." And Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." John 20:26-28. Jesus would then go on to tell Thomas that because he has seen, he has believed. But blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Why is this important to understand Jesus saying, "Peace be with you"? Well, Jesus knew he would only be with them yet a short time, and by comforting their hearts, by strengthening their resolve, and giving understanding to the calling that has been made to them, he wants them to know that the world they are about to go into will be hostile towards them, reject them, persecute them, as it is done to him. He wanted to remind them that they were given a time to physically walk with the Son of God while on this earth, and yet, through what they were being called to do, there would be others who would come to believe also in Christ Jesus, even though he could not physically be seen by them. They too would believe. He had shown to them through his sacrifice that he had come to reconcile men back to God, and they would be called to sacrifice of themselves as they spread the news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. His word would be spread from mouth to mouth and from heart to heart. There were, are, and will be those whose hearts are so hardened, who refuse to be healed, who will never see or hear, and continue to refuse the hand of God reaching down to them. To them he will be just. They shall be called to stand before him on judgment day. That promise by him also, but one people would rather not talk about at all. He is just. Jesus had to remind the disciples to trust in him, to believe in him, to share him with others. He had to remind them of his words and the words of him that were written in the scripture. When troubles try to overtake you, remember his words, "Peace be with you." Rebuke the devil and he must flee. Call upon the name of Jesus and share with him your every care, concern, and burden. Let him cry with you. Let him laugh with you. Let him share your sorrow and encourage you. You will not find in a conversation with anyone else such peace. Men can search the world over, but peace will never be found, for there will always be one, and more often than not, more than one, who will listen as the serpent says, 'Did God really say?' And then they let him lead them down a dark alley that leads to nowhere, but is instead filled with hate and pride and greed, a place where enough is never found and peace cannot exist. And a man without Christ is a man without peace, and a world without Christ is a world without peace. Paul reminds us in Philippians 4, 6, and 7, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus." To know Jesus is to know peace. There is no other way available to a man, and without peace, everything else is meaningless, a chasing after the wind. Praise be to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and may His peace fill your heart and lead you in your days.